Hello, everybody. This is the Big Show on British Tech Network. I am your interim host, Patrice, because, well, this is the Thanksgiving show. So all our American friends that would be here usually are out and about, and how did Ben put it? Face
Face
down,
deep in
face
Turkey.
deep in Turkey. So I want to see pictures. Big story didn't happen, right? But yeah, I want to say happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for like being so awesome, being with us all the time, all the listeners from the US as well. Thank you for being with us and for supporting us and for being so awesome. So I hope you're having a lovely time. Don't eat too much. Well, that's kind of part of, I think that's kind of part
That
of the day.
that's
So
part of the that's part of the deal, isn't
part
it?
of
You
the
eat
experience. Yeah.
that's part of the deal. Like
So
Christmas is here, yeah. You eat too much and sit there going, oh, like a beach whale all afternoon.
exactly. So eat too much, drink too much, enjoy your time, don't fight, and just have a lovely time. But I have, as you can hear, a lovely panel, I should almost say. Well, it's one panel, it's you and me.
Yeah,
With
it's
you,
just
with
us.
us. We somehow couldn't get more people from the British side to join. I think they were all busy with something. So a bit sad, but I'm very happy that you're here. Yeah. So
Thank you
welcome.
very
How are
much.
you doing?
I'm good this week. I'm good. I've been on a training course all week, so that's been interesting.
It's
So
always good.
it's been a nice change for me. Normally I'm the other side of things, but this week I'm learning, which is nice. So that's been an interesting break from the usual for me. So that's been cool.
Yeah, I
So
can imagine.
yeah.
I mean, that's always fun when you're doing something else. Like I'm gonna be going to Lisbon next week again, and I'm so looking forward to it because it's just a different pace and different things, and you're going to a different place or doing something differently, and it just makes sense. It's just a lot of fun.
I have no more traveling till the new year now, and I'm going over to Dublin for one of my next
Oh,
big
nice.
sales launch conference.
Oh, that sounds
So my
awesome.
next
I've not been to Dublin, so that's on my list.
it's a nice city. It's very interesting, very old, pretty interesting, and it has the problem that I always grumble about with anywhere. There's a street full of what I can only describe as leprechauns and green shit. There's no other way to describe it. And it
It's a
goes down to
tourist street,
the
right? It's all about the tourists, though. Yeah, okay.
basically they should have a big sign that said, Americans who want things that look greener from come here, come here. And it's kind of because my hotel was really near the last time I was there, and I kind of walked around, what is all this crap, you know? And then you get through, and then there's a lovely old city, and we've got some deal going on with the Guinness place, so we should be going to the Guinness factory.
Oh,
If
nice.
only using it as a venue, but I don't think we're getting a tour. But there's a few of us that are saying, do you want to come do the Guinness thing? I said, yeah, let's do the Guinness. So we might go a day ahead. And there's a couple of sales guys and a couple of the other techies. We might go ahead a bit and sample the delicacies that Dublin has to offer.
I don't remember who mentioned that recently, that basically, was it Tom or someone who basically said like went to some Guinness event, something to the Guinness factory, and wanted something else than Guinness to drink, and they basically told them to just leave.
No, go. Yeah, no, they would do.
So,
Yeah, it's pretty
like, if
much.
you're coming here, Guinness or
Yeah, I have
nothing,
to drink
right?
the. I have to drink the. I have to drink the thick. The thick and the thick stuff, or not at all. So I shall sample because it's what you do. It's what you do. You have to do it. It's
Exactly. Even I
required.
would do it, and I usually don't like beer, but I would do it. Like, why
And
not?
there's a there's a whole thing about when we're going food show again, but there's a whole thing where you get near the source that you kind of get the best
Oh yeah.
experience.
Yeah.
You're getting the best experience in terms of flavor and everything else, and also you get the Irish crack, as they say, and the fun that's associated with being in those environments. So
Yeah, exactly. It
that adds to the fun of it. It's
yeah,
always
it's
better when it's in.
exactly. No matter what you do, like, it's always best when you're like in that environment. If
Yeah,
when
in the
you're in the
environment.
environment that is like where something was invented or is made or something. Same for pizza. Like, pizza tastes best in Italy. Like, no matter what you do, no
Yes,
matter how
yes.
good your local pizzeria is, like, real Italian pizza tastes better in Italy. It's just simple fact. If
It
you want
is
New York
completely
pizza,
true.
go New York pizza, go to New York. Simple.
Yeah, that I
Simple
mean
rule.
it's weird, those the dollar pizza stuff. It's filth, junk, and everything else, but God, it tastes good.
Exactly. It does, especially after a couple of beers, it tastes
Couple of
better.
beers and you're walking up and down past Times Square, and you see all those dollar pizza places. You just go in and grab a slice. There's something nice about grabbing a slice of pizza. as crappy as it is. And it tastes good. It's just because it's high out of the oven and everything else. And you can't get bread wrong. You know, if you're cooking it all day, you can't get bread wrong. Just lovely stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So lovely stuff is also, we have a really nice chat room we should talk about later, but
we have a visitor.
We have a visitor, but the before we start talk about the big and important and four act story that is OpenAI, let's talk about something else. And I thought we should start with your story, Ian, about Broadcom and the VMware deal.
So massive sort of news that's been, it's a merger that's been in the offing now for quite a while, and there's been Trump stood on it and said, no, you're not going to do it. China had to approve it. There's been various toings and froings at a competition level over this to actually get the deal to go through. So Broadcom, one of the largest networking manufacturers in the world, if not the largest. And VMware, which is essentially the premier virtualization platform in the world. Microsoft can kind of claim theirs is any good, but really, no, it's VMware. There is only really one platform everywhere, and that's VMware. And what's happening is that Broadcom wants to get their fingers in the pies of going into the cloud and having more presence around there. And so they want to kind of integrate themselves into that, so that this is their opportunity to buy in. It's the obvious way to do it is to buy into that technology. So that's what they're hoping to do. So, and interestingly, being on a VMware course this week, the guy on the class is fairly well sort of connected to people inside VMware, the teacher. So he was sort of saying about, so some guys are sort of not sure when they'll have jobs. Some guys think it's going to be good. People don't know at the moment. It's all kinds of interesting. But yeah, no, that will be a change. Mm-hmm. And whether VMware will look like it does now in a year's time is a big debate, a big open debate of whether everything will go to as a service and in the cloud kind of thing. I mean, they've already got those kind of functionalities now, but it's going to, I can't see it. I can still see it just being a hybrid kind of system where some stuff remains on premise because it's got to, it's more practical. And then some stuff sticks in the cloud and you kind of get the balance. Talking to the people on our class this week, it seems to be they're all adopting that same kind of approach, and they're sort of various sort of UK-based. I mean, it's all UK-based class, which is interesting this time. Mm-hmm. But there are some guys that a national car dealership. I couldn't work out who he worked for, but I think it was a banking concern. But all financial services concerned, and he was saying much the same, that they're all doing things that are combining the two technologies to get the best out of it. And universities and NHS, again, the same sort of thing. They're combining where they can.
What I'm wondering is, I mean, what's in it for Broadcom? Like, why would they want to acquire like a company with VMware? Like, for me personally, they seem to be in a completely different business, right?
Yeah, but they want to be in that business. They want that side of it. They want to start getting more access into the platforms that sit on the clouds that they support by the networking products they provide. So they want all of the control of everything that sits in there. And this is why the competitions and mergers and thing has been concerned about it, because it's effectively a one-stop shop for everything. The platform that the virtual machines, your applications or whatever reside on, and the devices and the backbone that runs it, all from the same source. That's what I've understood it to be, that their big thing is that they want to see this large global business conglomerate that can do everything sort of thing. Whether it will or not, who knows?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's the big question, right? Will it work? Will it be better? Like, will it? I mean, what's going to happen to VMware in that context, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the big question. I mean, I don't know how relevant, VMware is massive, but I don't know how relevant they still are. Because a lot of environments, they're moving away from the old virtual machines and like that whole stack.
VMware has Tanzu. They've got their own platform that does that.
Yeah, that's true.
So that there's no problem for them. They're already diversifying into those markets because they can see it's where they're going. All of their infrastructure now is very connectable into a cloud-based environment. So again, they're in there. But Broadcom do semiconductors and all those kind of things, isn't it? And the infrastructure solution is again basically all one shop for everything, basically. And then virtualization, which is the layer on top. So yeah. So whenever they hope to create private and hybrid cloud environments where users can run, and then this famous wavy hands bullshit, run apps anywhere. Oh, you can apps anywhere.
Yeah,
oh,
which in reality
is in some cases
works, in a lot of cases it doesn't. So
if you use AWS it can, because you can have your app cached around the place and it all syncs wonderfully, and they do all sorts of clever stuff.
But your app has to support that. That's the problem.
Yes, you have to code for it. We won't do it otherwise, but yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, just because you deploy it everywhere, or you can deploy it close to customer, it doesn't really mean that it's gonna do anything for you. Like that's the whole problem of that.
Mm.
It's like it's like for certain things, like simple whatever, like to run static files, for example, like something like Microsoft or Google when they're distributing apps or whatever. Those are static files. That's easy. They can run anywhere. They can run a million times anywhere because it's just a file.
Yeah.
There's some server in front of it that serves a file. Like easy.
That's all VMs are. They're just files.
Yeah.
They're just files with a bit of clever technology that sits in the front of it that makes it think it's a computer. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, pretend servers, as I've often called them, you know, and that's what they are, you know. It's and that, because it's that, it then makes that easier to kind of make this thing that becomes far more fluid and far more sort of almost transparent, that the operating system and the other bits that sit on the side, the whole container world is where everyone is headed slowly but surely. Every vendor of things now, I notice a lot of them are in my sphere anyway. I can see the emergence and the kind of the thought patterns of the developers at the back are, we're going to split our product out into little tiny containers, which gives us this fantastic ability to be able to go, right, I've got more workload coming in. In theory, I can stand up six more and get the job done. Mm-hmm. And then I can just destroy them and leave myself with the one that runs everything for management. And then it will ramp up and down. And this fantastic sort of logic is a lot of people are now working on the ideas that that's where they're developing toward, where they can have these dynamically sizing apps. And the world is getting much more interesting.
Yeah. I have quite some experience with that because, I mean, we're running cloud services and it's not always as easy. Like it depends. Mm. Like I mean, when you have, for example, databases behind it, you have to somehow think about how will that scale and sync, and what are the problems when you have a hundred copies and 100 database copies, and how does this, like how long does it take for the data to propagate between them, and what issues can that cause, and so on. Like it's
delays in the transaction shipping around the databases, and all of a sudden you've got all kinds of problems. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's that. In theory, the perfect ideal world, everything is stateless and there's nothing, no data. Sure.
There's another lie that I hear a lot. Exactly. These things are stateless.
No, they're not.
Stateless? Really? You sure? So there's no data in it. So if I turn that off and delete that container, it doesn't matter. Oh, no. There's database updates in there before they go off. So how's that stateless then? And because the initial idea between as we containers is all stateless, so it's just an engine that runs something and then shuts down. We can put more engines in to make it go faster, get the processing done, and then we take the engines away that we don't need and leave it running on one cylinder or whatever. Pick your analogy, and they're just not, from what I've seen of talking to. I don't know your experience.
No, they're not.
What I see is there's always something active and there's data residing in in those containers, which we were always led to believe that the way it was going to be developed, that wouldn't be the case.
No.
There'd be a layer behind that where a secure bubble where all the data lived, not in these worker nodes, essentially. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's good news for us because we have a product called Cast and K10 that backs up, and we're selling lots of it because customers want that. So it's, and because again, that comes from that conversation of, so is there data in there? Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be stateless. Oh, no, no, no. And so, and again, a good conversation, and we end up selling some stuff. But, you know, those kind of things, the container world is very interesting. That there's a whole lot of interesting stuff going on.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like, I live in the container world. Like, I mean, all I do is containers. The entire BTN stuff runs on containers. Like,
oh, does it? All right.
Everything is containers these days.
Okay. I'm just starting to dabble.
Yeah, it is an important part, and it is an important part of making things scalable and reproducible and so on, but they're not stateless. Like most, I would say very rare you have a container that's completely stateless. Any container that stores any data has state.
Yes.
Like, I mean, sure, exactly. I don't know, something to just process a file and then pushes it on and that's it. Okay, even there you could argue.
Even then, at some point or another, that data will still be inside that machine.
Exactly. So it has some state.
It's not just a thing that's providing horsepower. If it's receiving a portion of data, a transaction that it passes on, there's that potentially at some point in time, if you froze it there, there's data in there that could be transactions as £1 million order that was not received by the company that we're trying to get it. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's talk about the giant elephant in the room.
Oh,
which
God.
Is the never-ending
week-long
saga about OpenAI.
Indeed.
So it all started almost a week ago, right after the show, with Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, and what was the other guy's name? Greg Brockman. There it is.
Yes.
Getting fired. Basically, their board got together without them and basically said, "Well, they're out." On a Friday, sack them. The reasoning for it was kind of, we didn't say much. It's like, differences in strategy, blah blah blah. And then stuff spiraled out of control. So that in itself was a very, very surprising. I mean, I wasn't concerned about Sam and Greg because, I mean, they're so well known. They're tech bros. They will find another company that hires them. Like that in itself, not a concern. They probably made a lot of money. They could probably also survive a while or forever without like working anywhere. Okay. It was a weird thing. It felt like to me still like a power grab. I was like, yeah, it happens. It's fine. It was weird, but it's fine. And then it got interesting.
Yeah. It's three non-employee member board, and they're named in the article I was just looking at.
Yeah.
They decided they'd
Yeah, so that was kind of the first act. As I said, in itself, really strange. I think CTO or tech, whatever, guru, kind of sided, and also part of the board, sided with them. And I think it sounded like he might have been pushing that a little bit. It's not clear, but it sounded like it at least back then. And then, like, I mean, the world went crazy. Like, everybody was talking about it, what happened, and all of that.
Someone on Monday apologized, apparently, on X.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A place to apologize, on Twitter.
Yeah, that's a good place. No.
Hold my head in
so
my
there
hands
was that.
For those listening.
So then we moved to the second act. As predicted, someone grabbed them. Someone was like, oh, like if you want to, like if you want to work, if you need work, hey, we have a big company here that works anyway very closely with OpenAI and has invested already 10 billion or probably more into them. Like,
yeah,
you want a job? You want your own department, like completely brand new department? Here, Microsoft.
Yeah, yeah. No problem at all. Come right this
way. No problem at all.
I mean, you could imagine that Sadia with rubbing their hands going,
oh yeah, 100%. Someone is available, and
and they'll be telling his people, go talk to them, offer them money, offer them whatever they want.
Exactly, and they very openly said, anybody from OpenAI who wants to join, feel free. Like just
will match your salary.
Exactly. So that happened on Monday, and that was or Tuesday or something. 20th, Monday, I think.
Yeah, it was Tuesday. That was Tuesday in this soap opera. We haven't got to Wednesday yet. When it changed again.
No, it was Monday still.
Was that still Monday? Yeah, still Monday. Okay.
Yeah, it was still Monday. So that was the second act. And it looked like okay, people are gonna probably join that, and Microsoft is gonna continue with that, and that's all. It's fine. Like whatever. Like it just happened, and then. Apparently, a lot of people at OpenAI were really upset about this. And this had been brewing over the weekend already. So 700 out of this, I think 711, if I remember the numbers correctly, I don't have them in front of me.
Yeah,
something like that. But like basically almost everybody in the company said, unless you reinstate Sam as CEO, we are leaving and going to Microsoft.
Mm.
So basically, that is the end of your company. If I think 11 people would have left, I would have stayed. And I mean, even those, you're not 100% sure, but 700 people signed the letter saying, we are out of here unless you reinstate them.
And Microsoft would have got 700 new employees. Thank you very much.
I mean, I'm not sure they would have taken all 700,
the principle was there.
The principal was there, and even if they took 10%, the other would have found something else. Like they're well known enough. If you go to a company and say, hey, you want to do something in AI? I come from OpenAI. People be like, hey, yes, here's a check.
Yeah. Well, actually, it says here the letter stated that Microsoft assured them that there were jobs for all OpenAI staff if they wanted to join the company.
Okay, that's a lot.
Later confirming it would match their existing pay.
Wow. Okay. That I didn't know. That is really impressive.
That would have made someone's day go very badly.
Yeah, and the balance sheet of Microsoft go boom.
The fact that the other side, OpenAI, that letter becomes public.
I mean, it's
or most of my staff are going to leave.
Yeah,
and they're going to leave to one of my competitors.
Yeah,
and
that's the end of my company.
Yeah, that's the end of OpenAI. It's finished.
Yeah. So not surprising, I would say, after that, the fourth and final act is and was, at least as of today, who knows what's going to happen next, but for today, at least the fourth and final act is Sam is back as CEO and there's a new board. So
who includes, there's a few more different folk now there.
Completely new board. So Sam is back.
Sam is back. I did see the names of the guys. Yeah, former Salesforce CEO, Brett Taylor, Larry Sumner's from the US Treasury Secretary, and current director Adam D'Angelo remains, I think.
Okay, so Adam
was one of the first things.
Uh-huh, okay. So that's interesting. I thought it was completely new.
Satya from Microsoft said it was encouraged by the changes.
While
walking around his office going bugger 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 because he couldn't get this new OpenAI team into, you could see that
I mean he's probably not 100% disappointed because I mean like when stuff like this happens this still kind of shatters the trust and the psychological safety that people feel. Any bigger change kind of messes with that.
I mean, I was just thinking then when you were saying that, I wonder how many they'll get that will kind of migrate quietly over to Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Some people might simply say, they offered something. They want to build a deal.
I mean, you offered a deal. I'm interested in this. Yeah.
It's like, do I want to deal with this situation again, or do I go to a company where, I mean, usually don't change their boards and fire everybody. Like, I mean, ever. Like, Satya has been in, I think, almost 10 years by now. Yeah, 2014, yeah. I think. 2014, I was in San Francisco when that happened. I think it was late 2013, early 2014. So you should be close to 10 years as a CEO. So that doesn't happen at Microsoft.
Yeah,
at least I haven't seen it ever happening. So,
I mean, their former boss is my boss, because Anand Rishwar, or whatever his surname is, I can't remember it off the top of my head now. He came from Microsoft. The CEO, the old CEO of Microsoft, now he runs Veeam. So
exactly.
It all goes around in circles, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. That's what I said. Like, I mean, people like that, they find a new company. That's not a problem. No, it's sad. Like, so I mean, I could see some people simply saying, I'm out of here. Microsoft might sweeten the deal and say, I'll pay you a little bit more if you join us.
Mm-hmm.
So I could totally see that happening. But we have to, wait and see what happens next. And There are some open questions. Like, the original reasoning was that he wasn't consistently candid in his communications. That's what the board said, found the quote. So
consistently candid.
Yeah, what does that mean? What was the problem? And is it resolved now, or was that just stupid shit like they made up?
It feels a bit like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you don't know. Like, whatever, you don't know what happened internally. I mean, very clearly that tech lead, whatever guy, felt like he had some differences with Sam. So
yeah, it does feel a bit like there is some...
Yeah, there was probably more to that story than just power grab and someone wanted the CEO position. So, by the way, in between all of that, there was, I think, for a day or something, an interim CEO. But then also was let go. So that didn't last very long. I mean, that's it. There is still... by the way, the letter stated... Yeah, exactly. It's not clear what's going to happen. It's not clear how this is going to influence the direction of OpenAI. I mean, they were kind of, I have a feeling they were kind of struggling with the, like, the, to call it, commercialization of this, because I think originally it was a very, what do you call it? I don't know, like, it was a company that believed in the greater good and doing something good for humankind, yeah. and like less in the commercial side and making
more money. altruistic,
that's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah, altruistic,
like that was more, I think, their stance on a lot of things, and that's what they worked on and how they did it. But they, I think, around the time when ChatGPT, like the whole hype started with GPT-3 and so on, they started developing a commercial branch, basically, of the company. So there's still the altruistic core, but they now have a commercial branch where they sell stuff and sell services and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people struggle with that in the company, because they still have that vision. I mean, the same thing that Google, I think, at some point struggled with, where they had the people who said, like, don't be evil and like,
yeah,
they're good guys. And, I
mean, essentially, a research company, and that's what they intended. Yeah. You know, it was technology that would then get kind of sold on in bits that will be used in other places, I guess, more than be an entity of its own. But that's, the world has changed, doesn't it? I mean, particularly when the world sees what AI technologies can bring. Every man Jack now wants to get involved in it.
Yeah, exactly. So said, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens and what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Or
it started out as a non-profit. Young Life in 2015 as a non-profit.
Yeah, and I think it's still a not, the core company, I think, is still a not-for-profit or something like that. But they have now a second company, basically, in the OpenAI area, that is the for-profit arm. As I said, and I mean, a lot of companies have done that, and a lot of companies have struggled with it because it is not an easy thing. Like if you have that not-for-profit idea, the ideal world, and you have researchers. I mean, researchers, I think, well, not all of them, but a lot of them are less, I would say at least less like money focused, because you wouldn't
less
do research if
and
you
more,
weren't,
more
you wouldn't do
in what
research
they can
if you're, if you were looking for making a lot of money.
Yeah, like, more interested in what you can learn, less into what money you can make.
Exactly.
Essentially, you want to do it for the sake of doing it. Why does this happen? How can we do this? Can we make that better?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not focused on the fact that will that make us more money at all.
Exactly. Exactly. So that said, I can totally see that being a struggle, and that's the world they're in. And on the other hand, there is massive commercial interest in OpenAI. So I also understand that they try to find a way how they can still do something commercially and have a commercial success and not just be a complete research-based company. So I understand it, but it's still weird, difficult. So we'll have to watch it and see if there's a next chapter, a next part of this so far four-part
story.
See
the next episode. Tune in next week for a further episode of AI and what happens next.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm sure there'll be more for us to talk about.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's every week something. So, last story I have on my list. Let me see. Did you have one more?
I've just found another one here that I just quickly saw that looked interesting.
Yeah, I have
Nvidia.
One.
Nvidia have getting one. Sued.
Oh, interesting. Let's talk about Amazon first.
Yeah, go for it.
Because I have an Amazon story that's interesting. Amazon, in the US at least, is now selling cars. So if you think Amazon was selling everything, very clearly they were not, because now they're selling almost everything. They're going to let Hyundai dealers list vehicles on the site next year. So it's only in the US. They have a deal with Hyundai on this one. So it's not just any company can do it. Any car company can do it. You could apparently before, I didn't even know that, browse car showrooms and compare prices on Amazon, but you couldn't actually buy it.
No, I didn't think I'd do that.
But next year, several dealers will start to list their models. So it's still a dealership model. It's still the dealers listing, not Hyundai themselves, which I think in some states would even not be allowed. I think Tesla ran into that dealerships need to be like in place, and the car company cannot sell directly. Weird rules, but or weird laws, but it is what it is.
It's becoming a thing now over here. At least my son works in the motor trade. He's on the finance side in the background, and he was telling me that a lot of UK car dealership are the big guys. I mean, VW, for example, that's what he works for, are moving toward online purchase. So. Yeah. The dealership will die eventually. There'll be no man to go and take it. There'll be no place to go to buy your car from someone. Yeah. You will go sit online, go clicky, clicky.
Yeah.
Which, maybe pop to the dealer to try the car. But that's all you'll be doing there. You won't be making a purchase.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay wondering how much that is already the case. I mean, I remember the last car I used. The last two cars I got, one was a company car in the US and one was a car in BMW in Germany. Both of them I basically ordered online and then only went to the dealership to finalize it because I had to. And I mean, you can now lease. I know like some companies, I think Mini, I think, is doing that. You can lease through their website directly.
Yeah.
And Tesla, I mean, Tesla, sure, like very famous.
Yeah.
Does only that.
Lots of them now, you can completely side.
I think that's what people want. They want on their own time. Make a decision, look at it, and then, as I said, go maybe to the dealership to do a test drive or pick it up or something. But I mean, even the pickups becoming less, like a lot of it is like, okay, you just get it delivered to your home, basically.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, that's how Liam started in the industry. He got a uni job doing handovers to start to get a foot in the door. I said, well, you'll be overqualified. I said, no, I want a foot in the door. I want to get in the industry. Okay. They liked his work ethic, and he did that for a while, and then made his way, and he's now sort of doing financially stuff, sort of on the ordering and the running of car of the Yes, yeah, so he said he very much it's he's fine because he's on this side, but the car dealership side, the actual shop front, as it were, is like everything else disappearing because people can buy online. Why would they bother?
And I think part of that is the greater variety of cars and flexibility. I mean, in the US, it's still a little bit like that. There's like 3, 4, 5 different models you can choose from, and that's basically it. Because the dealers had in the US especially have the cars on lot for the most part. So like you can't have every, like what German car manufacturers are very well known for sometimes, like having 10,000 different options you can choose from.
Yes.
Build your own car almost, and then it's built for you, but it takes 6 months to a year to get delivered or get it delivered.
Always fancied that idea of specifying my own car and then going to wherever it was to pick it up and then drive it home, sort of, particularly if it was a Porsche, and then go German, pick it up from Stuttgart, and then go pick it up from Stuttgart and then drive it
German
home.
Manufacturers do that. Like, I mean, I know, I think, I don't remember who it was. Was it Dockrock maybe? Someone did that, like came to Munich, picked up the car, drove it somewhere, and then shipped it to the US. So I don't remember who that was, but people have done that. Like, and said German manufacturer. I said, I personally don't like that. It's too many options, too many decisions you have to make. Like, do I want that option or this option? And if you choose this, then this cannot be selected, and it gets really complicated.
And one thing I was talking to someone about this just this week was I think we were discovering on the same idea of cars is, and subscription models is, would sort of like heated seats and a heated steering wheel, and that's £10 a month.
Yeah,
you know, and so the car's already has all these features enabled.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need a license key to unlock it, essentially. So, you know, for £10 a month, I can have heated seats. For another 15, I can have a heated steering wheel. You know, they're already baked into the car, but I can't have them unless they go
That I don't understand. Like,
you know, oh, God's sake. You know, but that means all the options in the car potentially are.
Yeah, but that then, also financially, I don't think that makes sense.
It's genuinely a thing without it.
I know. Some companies are trying that, but I don't think it's long term going to work that way because it's too expensive to put it in, and then people don't buy it.
Well, to manage it as well, that's got
to
be a
to manage it, to repair it if it's broken. I mean, it's part of the car still. Like, it still has to be maintained.
Well, but the thing with that is that all those features, if they're already, it just means you make one. I mean, look at the other way of it. You make one car. All the features are available. You sell that one car. Do you want these extra things, sir? No problem. Clickety clickety. They're turned on now for you.
Yeah, sure.
You don't want them? That's fine. You have the base car for 20 grand. Do you want all these extra things? That's another 10 grand. You know, whatever, you know, however it happens to work. You know, I'm pulling numbers out of my ass there. But that essential idea is, you know, you can layer on your features. But for the manufacturing point of view, same vehicle, same options already in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's,
like I said,
it becomes trivial or less complex, shall we say, to maintain it sound.
Yeah, I still don't believe in that. I think it's just financially not going to work out all that.
Continue to maintain a car that's at least 20 years old that doesn't need any of this crap.
Well,
it doesn't try and move lanes when I drive it.
You know what's even
recently.
Cheaper than that? Not having a car.
That doesn't work for me.
Doesn't work for everybody. Exactly.
If you did, I'd like it to, but no, I wouldn't.
I'm in a city with like really good public transport and available car sharing if I need one. So that makes a big difference. So someone else has to deal with all of that maintenance and taxes and all that shit. I don't have to do that.
I'm far too wedded.
Yeah, that's fine. Everybody
to the car.
Has different.
And to the experience of driving, which I love dearly.
I hate driving, so that's part of it.
You know, there's no, at the moment, there's no way I'd consider not being part of my life to have a vehicle that I could drive.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at it like that, the broadest
terms. Give it another 20 years, maybe.
Yeah, when they eventually sanitize it to the point where I'm not controlling it anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, you're also 20 years older.
I really
will
hope that.
And you're also 20 years older, so.
We won't care. You won't go 20 years.
Yeah,
over,
you will be like, oh, I'm so over it. Like, I don't want to do
I'm over it now. Just take me to the shops.
Exactly.
Wake me up when I get out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of shops, so I wanted to get back to the Amazon story. So
Yes.
the big question I have, so you can basically you go to the website, you can browse the cars, you can make a purchase with your standard preferred payment method. So I'm like, okay, you have a credit card that can charge whatever 50,000 bucks on it. Like, interesting.
Yeah, right.
I'm guessing they have some financing and so on.
Yeah, there's
What
going to
I'm
be
wondering, and then you can
financing.
pick it, either choose to pick it up at a dealership nearby, or you can have it delivered. So will there be a prime same day delivery for your car? That's what I'm
It
wondering about.
could be. I mean, also when you think about that, if they are doing finance model as well, then they're making money double. They don't making double. There's double money making being made there because the finance. The Amazon will
I mean, but
benefit from
the
a kickback from the finance,
Who
or is this
knows? I
their
mean,
own? And then they'll also
it
benefit
could
from the
also
sale of the
be that the
car.
financing then goes through the dealership. Who knows? Or
Whichever
through
way it
the
works,
or
yeah.
through Hyundai, and Amazon just gets their commission. I mean, Amazon for sure
Yeah.
gets something out of that way because
Yes.
otherwise they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, to be the world's biggest marketplace. It's got to literally be the world. I have everything. You can buy everything here from a screwdriver to an entire car.
Entire car, yeah. What's also interesting, there is other parts to this deal. So Alexa, Amazon's Alexa voice assistant, will be available in those vehicles starting in 2025. So that's a little way off, at least
Oh,
a year,
yeah.
a little bit over a year. And Hyundai will be using AWS for their cloud services.
Ah,
So this is a
so
bigger
the plan,
package.
yeah. So Amazon are making money out of that then, because
Oh yeah, 100%.
they'll be using the cloud services for the updates for the cars and everything, and maintaining. That's clever. That's good. Sounds like good business to me, in all honesty, if you're going to do that.
For Amazon, that's a good business. I'm very critical of this one. And the reason for it is, as much as I order from Amazon, as much as I sometimes like to go to Amazon and do go to Amazon to order things, I'm starting to hate that it's the only place you can go. It's unfortunately becoming it's getting to the point where Amazon is the only place, and they have basically all control over what you get and what you don't get and what you pay and so on. And they've very deliberately, through their business practices that have not always been clean,
No, not
they
by
I
any
mean
means.
we talked, I think, last week about that, even that they're being sued by the US government on like because of their, like, I think, audiobook practices, if I remember correctly.
It was something, yeah.
Yeah, something like their books in general, I don't remember. So I'm starting to be very critical that, like, more and more stuff gets sold through Amazon. And I'm actually myself trying to move off Amazon to some extent and saying, because they're making money on the front end, like the shop itself, or even if third party sellers, they're controlling what they sell and for what sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they make on the back end also, because I think, I don't know, 70% or something of all web traffic is through AWS these days.
Yeah.
So they have their toes in, or their entire feet in very big ponds sometimes.
I know I kind
And
of sort of switch around in terms of platforms I use. I mean, I quite like eBay for a lot more these days and try and. And even I'm not so much, depending on what Etsy can be very good.
Yeah.
If not, I'm just going to look for an online retailer that I can use and talk directly to now. Because it's the thing is, you're blinded by all big Amazon store. It must be cheapest. It's not always.
Yeah.
Just
I
not
mean,
always. For some things, it's just
exactly.
not always the cheapest.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like I just bought a new, like, a new cooktop, and a new oven. And the oven I actually ordered through Amazon because they were literally the only one that had it available currently, because something happened. It was available at other sellers and for actually good prices, and I was about to order, and then all of a sudden all of them disappeared. It's a brand new model, so I'm guessing something happened, and they had to maybe get recalled or weren't delivered or something. I don't know what happened. So all of a sudden they were all gone, and then one came back now from Amazon on the fourth. So I was like, okay, and because I don't have an oven currently, because I already, like, took it out, and so I'm like, I don't want to wait an unknown amount of time until I can order it somewhere else for a price that I don't even know about yet. So I ordered it from Amazon.
I mean, quite often with all of these sellers online. I noticed when we were buying some other bit of white good recently that I think there's a warehouse with the stock in it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
all of the vendors have access to the availability in this warehouse.
Mm.
And regardless of who you're buying it from, it's coming out of that warehouse and being delivered to your house.
On Amazon, a lot of times that's true because, like, if you look for it, it's like sold through company XYZ.
Yeah.
Delivered
that's
by
the
Amazon.
And that's
so
the
it's sitting
that's
in
the
an Amazon
warehouse,
warehouse.
essentially.
Yeah. But we do have, like, especially for like electronic, like, or like home appliances, stuff like that.
Yeah.
We have here in Austria, I want to say 4, 5, 6 different companies that I'm aware of, probably more, that have their own warehouses, multiple even in the country, and actually sell electronic stuff and appliances and so on. And are actually quite competitive with Amazon. So I'm very happy. I've like my washer and my dryer ordered from one company here and from Vienna, actually. And so on. Like I really like doing that, supporting the local company. There are different warehouses. I've seen one of them here, so I know where they are.
There's a network of dealers in the UK called Euronics, and we've got. I mean,
I know Euronics.
It might even be European wide,
Yeah,
and
it's European.
We've got a couple of their dealers in the in here, and we use those if we need something and we don't have the. There's no pressure on sort of time and getting it quite often. Our cooker came from them; they were very helpful.
Yeah, as I said, so
they've been really. And so I like to use local business when I can for stuff.
Me too.
Disposable kind of cheap stuff. No, not so much. No,
Yeah,
doesn't matter too.
exactly.
You know,
As I said, in this case, it's this
horses
case.
for courses.
Yeah, in this case, it simply didn't work out because I needed my oven, and it was very unfortunate
Right,
timing
right.
that I had already ordered the top, and I had already gotten, like, the electrician was coming in like a couple of days after to install it, and I was like, ah, crap.
So yours freestanding then, rather than
Yeah,
like the
yeah.
UK
No,
quite often
no.
where they're
They're
built into the work
built
cooker, they're
in,
built
but
into
they're
the.
separate now. So
Ah, okay.
the top is the induction top is separate, and then the oven. So
Yeah,
yeah,
we've got.
still a standard
We
built
just
in.
got. When we bought our new cooker, we got induction. That's nice as induction.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you know what's also very nice?
What?
TSO Host.
Are they?
Really nice company. They're so nice. They're giving us like all the servers that we're using, where all the container stuff is running on, what we talked about earlier. So as I said, it's a really great company, really great people, been supportive for years. They offer everything. Like, if you need domain names, if you need hosting for like a WordPress site or some, they have some other options. If you need servers, they have all kinds of like cool internet thingies that you might need. So it's a great company. Their support, I mean, we've never really needed them. Like, all the issues were homemade issues, like our stream issue today, for example. That's all homemade issues that I effed up. So it's never been down in all the years. Like, it's always been myself breaking something and then needing help. So I've seen on the social medias, like back when Twitter was still Twitter and was not owned by Elon, we were on Twitter still, and there were like listeners reaching out to TSO hosts on Twitter and saying, "Hey, I have this question, or I have this problem, and like, what can I do?" And they would be very fast in responding and very helpful, good answers, quick answers, like just what you needed. Super nice people. So that's just a really good company. So that's all I can say. So all they want for us to support us is that our listeners go out there on their favorite social medias, whatever that is these days, and mention them and say, "Thank you, TSO Host, for like supporting the British Tech Network." You can do that on Mastodon. I don't know if they're on Mastodon, actually. I should check. But you can still mention them. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, just because it's all about brand recognition. You don't need a handle on Mastodon to do brand recognition. TSO Host, British Tech Network, just say thank you for supporting us. And that's all I want. But let's say you are actually in the market for, I don't know, you want to buy a social, like, whatever, a website for your new social media project that you're starting, or for your personal website. Like, you want to have an iangrant.com. I don't know if that is available, but if it's not, then you could order that through TSO Host.
I think I've looked at some point or another. vanity
you can
websites.
Okay, so but or whatever, like you can find Ian Grant's awesomechapel.com. I don't know, something like that. Or some church or whatever. Like you will find something. You know, we all own way too many domain names anyway. You can do that through TSO Host, and they will give you a 20% off coupon code. And for that, you like the code is BTN20. The offer code is BTN20. Put that into the box when it's asking you for that, and you get 20% off everything that you bought. So that's how awesome they are. Thank you to TSO Host for supporting us, and thank you for our listeners who are also being here. Now we should talk about the chat, and I'm going to rely on you to explain this time how the chat works.
The chat is available on our website. You can find a nice, and let me see if I can find the URL for it. BTN.
It's chat.britishtechnetwork.com.
Thank you. Chat.britishtechnetwork.com will take you to chat.britishtechnetwork. This is good. Good. And then when you go there, you can see our chat, our live chat, what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the conversations, all the cool links, all our story links from today's soap opera of AI. All in there. All in there. You can have
show title. We got it.
We've got it. It's all in there. AI soap opera, everything. That's all just there. You can have a good look. And you'll also see our cool things when we post them in there. And there's a chat history from the website. So you can go and see the old chats from each week when we record the show, both our show and the Mac show.
Yeah.
So you'll be
all
able to
the
see
way back. All the way back to 2015. November 2015 is the first show, the first messages you see. So all the way back
first
to 2015.
Life.
All everything. Jesus. So you can go in britishtechnetwork.com/chat, put in the date, for example, for today, that is the 23rd of November 2023. If you put that in, you will see what we talked about today. That is.
Indeed. I'm just having a look. I've just jumped on there now just to see, because it's been a while since I've been in that way. But so normally use any client. I mean, so that's a decent client there in the web, and you don't need to install anything. I mean, I've got I've got Lime. I'm on a Mac, so I use Lime Chat. That works really well. That's a good old classic IRC chat, and that works very well to connect in.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
And I'm actually lying. It goes further back than November 2015. I thought it was November. It was actually June 2015.
Oh, wow.
So let's see. 2nd of June, Andy said, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was the first thing that was recorded. And then I think that Thursday, there was probably a Mac show. Yeah, that looks like, a big show.
Yeah.
Big show, and they talked about some stuff. Let's see. What did they talk about?
And who was on it?
Who was on there? That's a good question. There's a lot going on here. Jeff was for sure. No, I'm not sure. Jeff was mentioned. Some inappropriate stuff. So
yeah, Jeff.
Doc was on it. I see here. Yeah, it was like there we go. Mad Max Fury Road. Okay, some Mad Max Fury Road silver cake decorating spray on Amazon. Okay, interesting. Okay, interesting. There's some interesting stuff happening in that chat.
Oh, yes.
So go back. What is that? The 4th, June 4th, 2015. That's the first show that was.
And you can and the nice thing is you can join us when we're running our show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's always a nice thing. You can join in. You can, like Trigger is today, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, live show. I'm gonna try to fix the live stream as well. There's some issue with that. Still on the quality side, it's not as good as it should be. So I'll have to spend some time on the weekend to fix that. So good.
Nice.
Good show, good chat. So let's talk about some cool things. Do you have one?
Yes, I do. It's a very simple cool thing. I'm just gonna put a link to this week. I decided I was fed up of it. I've got one single big widescreen monitor, the 30-odd inch one, and it's been great up to this point. But I keep missing out on having somewhere to throw a window that's not hidden by the other ones on my desktop. And I'm saying, oh, I need another monitor on my desk. And there's not a lot of room on my desk now with a big 30-inch monitor. And it suddenly occurred to me, we could go vertical. I mean, I've got loads of spare monitors kicking around. So I picked one of the 24-inch Yamas I had kicking around in a cupboard. And I've stood it on its end. So I'm now running it vertical. So I've got the chat room over there. I've got the Slack room over there. I've got some of the lab guides from today over there. I've had the chats and things from our WebEx sessions today over on that screen. So that my email and things. And that's all really quite helpful to be able to sort of throw them somewhere else and just generally with the whole sort of multitasking. But the difference being having a monitor that instead of being your typical landscape, so instead of being wide, it's tall. So you can kind of stack. And I think it's actually really helpful. I've just put a link into a How to Geek article on how to do it. So if anyone wants to try it, if you head to the chat room, you can see a guide on why you might want to do it. And it is surprisingly useful. I'm quite enjoying it.
That sounds like a really awesome tool.
And literally, all you do is you can tell your most operating system support you flipping the monitor.
Yeah.
You don't need a monitor that supports it. All you need to do is to go into the drivers of your video card in Windows.
Well, and flip your monitor as well.
And then flip your monitor to correct orientation. Yeah. Or if you're like us, when you wanted to play practical jokes on folk, when you were...
I've done that.
you go around and you turn... They've left their machine unlocked, so you use the tools in the thing to turn the monitor upside down.
Yeah. The only thing I can recommend, I think, is curved displays probably don't work so well for that. I don't know.
No, they can't say they work. I mean, all mine are flat ones anyway. I could quite do with a curved one here now because you've got a bit of screen now that's way off over there just that little bit far away.
Yeah, I have that. So that's why I was thinking about it.
Yeah, that's the only thing. But it's again, that's all right. I'll throw Teams over there in that corner where it can just sit there and I can size other windows around it.
Yeah. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. I remember someone in our office in Phoenix that had a curved display. He didn't have a curved display. He had a vertical display. Mm. So it had like one horizontal and one vertical. And I mean,
it's exactly
like us was reading a lot of emails and like text document like of some sort.
Yeah.
Like whatever technical documentation for something and all of that is just like pages and pages and pages of text. Word documents, emails, all of that.
Because you've got it in the natural, it's in its natural format.
Exactly, that's actually a really good idea. Maybe I should do that because I could use a second monitor, but what stopped me is I'm like, oh, should I do like another 34 next to it? It's kind of big. I don't know. So actually, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I had one laying around, so I thought I'm just going to give it a trial and throw it, and then it would decide whether I find something better. I don't need to find anything better. It works. It's completely fine for what I need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea. Good pick. My cool thing is something for... I mean, it's getting dark, or it is already very dark outside. It's getting cold. It's nasty. The weather is not great. You need shows to watch, right? TV shows. We all do that. And this one is an oldie. This one is an oldie but goodie. I mean, it started in 2007. So and it ran for 12 seasons. So 2019, they finished, I think, around about.
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it doesn't have some issues here and there. There's some stuff that was let's put it this way.
Yeah, some stuff hasn't aged well, has it?
Some stuff you wouldn't do today, like some inappropriate comments and so on, like some homophobia here and there, stuff like that. But it grew over time. Like in the beginning, it was sometimes rough, but then it grew really, really well over time. A really awesome cast, especially later on when Mayim Bialik and what's her name? Rauch. Blanking on the first name. When they joined, Melissa Rauch, exactly. It's a really good cast. I really liked, like in the beginning, especially, I mostly identify with my women on the show, and Penny especially, I always have. And in the beginning, her character was kind of rough, and I think that it was kind of stereotypical, and I didn't know what to do with her. And then she kind of grew into her own character. And what I really like in me watching the show is how they grew over time. all of them learned over time. All of them got better over time at being good people in general, and just how they worked together and interacted. And what started off as kind of the nerds versus the non-nerds, and like men versus women, kind of like, and they can never interact with each other because like they're nerds. It kind of grew out of that and to a mature friendship and family. And my favorite part is just sitting together and having a dinner conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a big part of the show. Like, they're sitting in their living room and eating a takeout and just talking.
I mean, the both of my teams loved and have binged entire seasons of this thing.
I'm binging all of them currently. Like,
it's just, I tend to catch one or two every now and again. And I first time I saw it, I always thought it was a bit near the knuckle, in as much as I can identify with everyone, all of the male figures on the show. Going, I can identify with all of that.
Mm.
But on the other hand, then they, when I saw the later ones, and they started developing the characters more.
Yeah.
And Penny is less of, oh, look, eye candy, and more of an interesting foil to the geeks in a good way. And you start thinking, oh, well, that's
a good influence on them.
Yes.
And vice versa. Like, she also learns stuff from them. Like, I mean, later she can, like, she really cares about them. And, like, she can, like, there's episodes where they make, where it's kind of a punchline that she, like, all of a sudden can explain what E equals MC squared actually means and so on. And stuff like that is not she's like, I think she says like, oh, Leonard says that when he's asleep or something. So like, she actually also learns things from them and is interested in what they're doing. And I mean, they're in their field or ahead of her, and that's not the point, but she actually cares. So I really liked it. And the cool thing is it's 20 minute episodes. It's like 20. Yeah. It was the old like 20 minute. 20 something episode seasons with like 20 something minute shows. So it's an easy one for me, especially to watch on like during my lunch break. Just watch one of them, eat something, and then go outside for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or in the evening, watch like 2, 3, 4 of them in a row and then do something else. So I miss shows like this.
Yes.
Like it's like this sitcom. Just friends being together. I mean, Friends was also one of them. Or How I Met Your Mother. Like, there's similar shows from similar times with similar, let's say, general setups. It's a really good show. Like, highly recommended. It is available for streaming on Max, for example, in the US. Check in the UK where you can get that.
Netflix, I'm almost sure.
Yeah, Netflix, Prime, you can get it. It's on 4 for you, and also on Sky if you want. Sky only has 11 seasons for some reason. I don't know why. But
we've always been able to get it over here. It's always been.
Yeah, so it's available. It's a good show. It really, I also like the ending. It's one of those rare shows where there is a massive cast. Like, I mean, it starts out with 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, with 5, and then they expand with 2 more to 7, and every single one of them is interesting, and every single one of them is key and important, and it's not just a side character, and it's rare. And they work really well together. I think they're to this day, from what I've seen, friends with each other. So
yeah,
you can tell. You can tell. I mean, and also, you work for 12 years together, so
yeah, it's gonna make a difference, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, you couldn't do that. Well, you could try, but it's hard. So as I said, it's just it has some romance, so you have to like that, but it's mostly comedy. So highly recommend that. So that's my cool thing.
Oh yeah.
All right. So we have reached the end of our awesome show for today, Thanksgiving edition, and next week I think the American side will be back, and then we'll see what happens till then. There's probably gonna be another thing. Black Friday is happening. I mean, that's for sure. There will be probably some things like, what did you buy on Black Friday, for example, that's coming up. So stay tuned.
Yes, and they're much, much black. All my inbox is full of is Black Friday.
Yes, same. So with that, I think we should end this show. Thank you, Ian, for doing with me, this special edition, the all-European edition.
I'm not in Europe. No, I'm not in Europe. I'm not allowed anymore.
Ah, that's true. Well, yes, you're true. You're not in the European Union.
Independent United Kingdom.
It's true. But you're still on the European.
Yeah.
A part of the European continent, kind of. You're not in the EU. That's true. You're not.
Not in the EU. I'm not. No.
But you're still in the European area.
I'm still on the other side of the pond.
Yeah, exactly. So let's put it this way. Yeah. So, thank you. Where can people find out more about what you do?
People can find more about what I do. Have a look on LinkedIn. Look for Ian Grant. Look for Veeam. I try to post stuff up there. I should post a bit more soon, actually. I'm going to try and make an effort next year to start posting regularly bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. It's a good platform to get into doing stuff with. Otherwise, I'm in the Slack room, BTN Slack room. Look for me there. You'll find me there under my old turning it off and back on again, TIOABOA Monica. I lurk around there. That's me.
You do. All right. Thank you. You can find me almost every week here on the show. Not next week because I'm traveling, but usually here on the big show on Thursdays. Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time. If you want to listen live and head over to the chat, hint, hint. And also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show if you are interested in what's happening on the Apple side of things. Because on this show, we might mention Apple sometimes if it's relevant, but we usually don't talk about Apple-related stories. So that's what the Mac show is for, 4 p.m. UK time. So I highly recommend joining that tomorrow.
Even though both of us are Mac users.
Yeah, for sure. I would like to have more. I mean, we have usually Tom, who is not a Mac user, for example, but I would like to have more non-Mac users. Like, I'm always interested what's going on. I mean, we talk on this show about not just non-Mac things, but we talk about like everything going on in tech, which is super interesting, like chips and games and space and cars and like whatever
all
happens.
All kinds of
AI
nonsense.
We talked about today, like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because in the end, I still work in very much a Windows world, even though personally I use a Mac, but I work very much in a Windows world.
Mm. Yeah, I don't. Well, I think our company might still be heavily focused on Windows, but
we can't. You can't help it. You can't avoid it.
Yeah,
in the world of corporate tech, you can't avoid it. Sadly,
that is true. So, more about me also on my website, thepatrice.com, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, and so on. I was on the Mac Voices holiday gift guide. I think the first part of the episode is out with Brett Terpstra and who else was there? There was another person there that I'm blanking on right now. I'm sorry. I'll post it and then you will find it. So if you're looking for stuff to like gift to whatever your friends, your loved ones, family, whoever, check out the Mac Voices holiday gift guides because they have some really, really, really good suggestions. And you can find like a really cool podcast where people talk about food and food-related memories and everything that goes with that on foodieflashback.com because that is my interview show that I do with cool people. You can find everything we're doing on British Tech Network, all the shows. There's a news show I should mention. Really, really cool show. It is taking a break this week because of Thanksgiving, but it will be back next week, I think on Tuesday, if I remember correctly. I think Monday, Kyle still has off. He's in the Philippines. So he took a well-deserved break. The free edition on British Tech Network. And if you support it, you get the extended edition for supporters. Highly recommend that. Really good podcast. Been going on for a long, long, long time. I was a professional voice artist. So he did it pretty well.
Comes great. He used to come on the big show years ago. He used to be on the big show.
Yeah, he did. It's a really good show. I really enjoy it. And like he gets the point across in 5 minutes or less, like nobody else.
Mm.
So highly recommend that. Yeah, and come back to this show next week.
Yeah, come back
Big
and see
show
us
on
again.
Thursday, Mac show on Friday. And yeah, we'll be back with Jeff. And
We
thank
will.
you, Ewan, for letting us do this still. I hope we see you soon.
Yeah, and
and
thank you for
thank
having me
you.
for Trace again.
Yeah, thanks everybody. Thank you, Ian. And see you next week.
See you next week, all.